All right, tonight I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll be reading from verse 6 down to verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to verse 8. And let's stand as we honor God by the reading of his word, beginning in verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your precious word, and thank you for the privilege we have to look into it, to hear from you, and to see the amazing results when we apply it to our lives. I pray that you would take full control, speak to each and every heart in a special way. Give me the words you'll have me to say. May they be a source of strength, blessing, and encouragement, and challenge as we see the day approaching. Thank you once again for this time. Continue to meet each need, and we'll thank you for it and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Practically speaking, any accomplishment for which one would be deemed to excel at, or in other words, to perform at a high level, a level that would exceed what would be considered as average, that accomplishment must take and requires diligence. Currently, we have a number of our young people, students, who are either currently doing exams, preparing to do exams. Some might have just recently completed their exams. After the teachers and those who are grading these papers would have assessed what these students would have done, some may have passed and even done really well or relatively well without much effort. Some may even do better than many others. But if these students are going to truly excel, to do what we would consider exceptionally well, I would submit to you that it would require diligence. Diligence is defined as constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. It is persistent exertion of body or mind. Now, diligence is employed, as the definition indicates, because there is a mission. There is a goal to be accomplished. We're here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we've been looking at this epistle to the church, of course, at Thessalonica for quite some time. And we are here now, close to the end of this wonderful letter. And just to review, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had recounted the glorious work of the gospel in these saints' lives, that the gospel had brought about change, amen? They had become transformed people because I submit to us here tonight on the authority of God's word that there is power in the gospel. In chapter 2, he recapped his time personally with them as a church planter. And he was tender with them and he worked with them. Chapter 3, he spoke of their perseverance in trials. And he cautioned them of, even though he had complimented them and he was very proud of their accomplishments in their walk with God, that there was the continual need to abound. This theme continued in chapter 4. We needed to abound in sanctification, in love, and to do so until the Lord's return. Now he gets to chapter 5, and he's giving them some practical instructions that they will need to implement in order to continue to fulfill God's calling and God's purpose on their lives. And we've been saying for the last few weeks, he begins in chapter 5, of course, verse number 1, and where we are right now, giving them what I would define as some characteristics that they would need to have. We saw the characteristic of discernment, spiritual eyesight, understanding to see things as they are, and also to be able to make certain judgments that might not be apparent to the naked eye. Discernment is very much needed in living this Christian life. Amen? We saw the characteristic of deliverance. We saw last week in verses number 4 and 5, he says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light." We've been delivered from darkness, which symbolizes sin, and we've been transformed into light, which symbolizes righteousness. That is deliverance that comes from Almighty God. He said, you cannot accomplish what you ought to unless there is a recognition that you have been delivered from darkness and you are now in the light. But I want us to look tonight in verses 6 to 8 in this important characteristic, quality that we must employ in our Christian walk to see great success, and it is that characteristic of diligence. Diligence. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now, there are a number of elements that I'm going to submit to you tonight that entail what it means to be diligent. Now, first of all, jot this down. That diligence requires, first of all, that you are awake. Amen? Awake. Anybody awake tonight? He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." Now, the context here is spiritual, but tonight in this service, just in case you're not awake physically, wake up! Because you're going to need to be awake to hear the spiritual truth. So he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do." We understand that sleeping in the physical sense refers to a state of semi-unconsciousness. When you sleep, there are certain things that you are not aware of what's happening around. Any of you here tonight, you ever talk in your sleep? Any of you ever walk in your sleep? I mean, there are activities that we can do in our sleep, and we're not even aware. Somebody else has to tell us what we said and what we did. Why? Because we are sleeping. But the Apostle Paul says, as it relates to being diligent, we cannot sleep right now. We cannot sleep spiritually because we have been exposed to light. Amen? We are in the daytime. Look at what he says. Look at the words here. And you must understand the context is spiritual. He says, "We are children of the light and children of the day." Verse number 5. "We are not of the night nor of the darkness." That's why he gets to verse number 6 and he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep." Why? We are in the daytime. We've been exposed to the light. John chapter 9 and verse 4 to 5, Jesus speaks in this context and says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus was saying, "I'm the light of the world, so I must be busy about the master's business." But notice, when Jesus left the earth, we now are the light in the world. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So that we are receiving an admonition that we must be awake spiritually. Many Christians sadly are sleeping spiritually. And they're sleeping spiritually because of sin. They're sleeping spiritually because of carnality. So they find themselves in the darkness. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 7, he says, "They that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken in the night." He's using here a physical analogy for a spiritual truth. He's saying that people sleep when it's dark. They're drunken on most occasions when it is dark. And similarly, in a spiritual context, many people are sleeping spiritually because they're overcome by sin, by darkness. He's saying if we're going to be diligent, the first thing we must do is to wake up, is to be awake. But the second aspect of being diligent is that of being aware. You must first of all be awake, but then you must be aware. Now look at verse number 6 and look at the word that he uses here. He says, but let us do what? Watch. Watch. Now the reason why a person, a security guard, would watch, or a security guard would be placed in an environment, first of all, to watch, is because someone is aware that there is an enemy out there. Someone is aware that there is a presence of danger. So awareness requires that you are, first of all, sober, not drunk, not intoxicated. Why? Because drunkenness hinders or prevents one's ability to be aware of what's going on around him or her. When you're drunk, your physical, mental faculties are impaired. In other words, your thinking is affected. You don't think straight, you don't act right. That is why drinking and driving puts lives at risk. The Apostle Paul uses Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 uses the same word here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. As a result, having an awareness that there is an enemy out there demands that we are not only awake, but we are aware. This enemy is actively seeking, endeavoring to destroy us. Sadly, this unawareness of many believers has lulled many to sleep. And even if they are awake by being engaged in religious activity, they seem unconcerned, oblivious, clueless as to the dangers that are all around. And even more sadly, many believers are drunk. Not drunk maybe with alcohol, but they're drunk with worldliness, intoxicated with worldly desires. Desires for riches and fame and what the world has to offer. And these things, my friend, has clouded spiritual judgment. So they have become unaware of the danger that is lurking and existing all around. If we're going to be diligent in our efforts to reach a lost and dying world, we must be aware. My friends, there is an enemy wants to destroy us. This whole idea of being aware would suggest that in the context of those who are many security, and I'm not picking on security guards, but it would suggest that in many cases when you find a security guard asleep, that he's not too concerned that anything is going to happen. Doesn't that seem rational? I mean, if a security guard is going to make up his bed and go to sleep, I mean, everything is okay. I mean, you know, not much danger is existing. But I would submit to us tonight that as it relates to a spiritual sense, my friend, there is an enemy and he is alive and well and he wants to destroy us. So we must not only be awake, but we must be aware that he is there. We cannot afford to relax and to be lulled to sleep. Diligence requires that we be awake. It requires that we be aware. But thirdly, it requires that we be alert. Verse number 6, he says, but let us watch. Watch. Now wait, when you are aware that something exists, then you go to the next level. You go a step further by staying on guard, by keeping a keen eye on the surroundings. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you could identify with me, and I will testify that I've been in this situation. We are sitting in a lecture, and I know that because my eyes are open, I'm not exactly sleeping. But because of sleep deprivation and limited sleep, I would admit to you, I'm not alert. Any of you have ever been there? Any of you there right now? I mean, your eyes are open, but you are not alert. So your mind is not keen. I mean, you're hearing sounds, but you're not, it's not transmitting to your brain and certainly not to your heart. Why? Because there requires a level of keenness, a level of watchfulness in order to be alert. Newsflash, when you know you're coming to church, especially on a Sunday morning, get some rest the night before so when you come, you are alert in the house of God. Amen? It's not just about being here in body. It's being here in spirit. Be having all of you here, your mental faculties, alertly in tune with the word of God. So it requires that we are alert. Diligence requires that we are alert. Be on the alert for what's affecting our minds against the things of God. Let me give you a number of things that we need to be alert about. And I'm telling you, we are living in a day and age where Christians seem not to be alert. I mean, we are lulled into this sense of nonchalance. And whether, my dad would say, whether Good Friday comes on a Thursday morning, seems like they couldn't care less. But we need to be alert. Here's some things that we need to be alert about. Worldly philosophies. Ideologies that are popular, that contradict the word of God. Here's why you need to be alert. Because these things are presented to us in a very subtle manner. They're presented in a way that makes right seem wrong and wrong seem right. They come to us via the news. They come to us via television. They come to us via some of our favorite shows, social media. But they are worldly philosophies, and we must have a keen eye as to be able to detect them and to turn them off and not let them pollute our minds. Be on the alert for worldly philosophies, but be also on the alert for worldly practices. These are things that are not necessarily bad and inherently evil, but they dominate our time. Keep us away from the word of God and from the things of God. Things like our phones, social media, an instant society that wants everything now, 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 now. Be alert. The devil is using these strategies and these new modes of operation to distract us from the things of God. The worldly practices. The worldly philosophies. But here's something else and that you need to be alert to. Worldly people. People who are used by the devil himself to keep us off track. To discourage, to hinder you from growing spiritually. And just in case you're wondering, here's a top reason why you have to be alert on this one. Don't think that all of these people are outside of the church. Some of them are planted right in the church of the living God. And they're there to hinder you. These individuals have no intention of growing spiritually. So if you make up in your mind and you decide that I'm going to grow and it looks like you are moving along, they want to stay right where they are, but they want company. So there's something to discourage you to get you right back to where they are. You need to be alert. Let me tell you something. These individuals, they are toxic and detrimental to your spiritual growth right in the church. Don't be surprised. I'm telling you the truth. These are what I call confusion starters. They love confusion. Man, you can have a wonderful service. You can have a wonderful event. Man, you could be blessed. You could be charged. You could be on fire for God. Listen, they'll come and they'll spread their toxicity on you. And if you're not careful, you'll be further back than where you started. You got to be alert. Watch out. Require some diligence. If you notice, every time you take one step forward and you come around these individuals, next thing you find yourself two steps backwards, listen, get away. Be alert. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 to 18 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Avoid them. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good works and fierce speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." You have to be alert. If we're going to be diligent, we have to be alert. We can't be clueless. We can't have our head in the sand. Be alert. Be aware. Be awake. And then here's the final aspect of being diligent. You're going to have to be active. Diligence requires constant and earnest effort. Look at verse number 8. He says, "But let us who are of the day be sober." Look at that next word. Putting on. This word here is in English language, it's a progressive, present progressive or present continuous tense. It simply means that if you're going to be diligent, it requires ongoing activity. You can't stop. You can't slow down. You can't think, "I have arrived." It requires continuity. Look what we need to continue in. We need to continue putting on the breastplate of faith. A breastplate protects the heart. We need faith to know that God is able to keep us. I must rely on Him to guide me, to navigate me through the affairs of this life if I'm going to keep my heart with all diligence. Faith keeps me from shifting my allegiance because I know that God has my back. Amen? Faith. Love. Love protects my heart. Love also shields me from contamination of worldly desires. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." James chapter 4 refers to this issue of, you think of love. You know, when you know one of the things that is a great protector and a shield from being in a relationship where there's infidelity? It's loving your spouse. The more you love your spouse, the less likely it is that you will be involved in an adulterous affair. Jesus says, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 4 to 5, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do we think that the scripture saith in vain, "The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy"? That's why love for God is a great protector. Keeps us active, keeps us motivated. There's faith, there's love. And then it says the hope of salvation. It's a helmet. Why? The helmet protects the head. my thoughts, my mind focused on what God has done for me, what he's doing and the plans that he has for me. When I think of the beauty and the hope of salvation, listen, I can go on and on until Jesus comes. Why? Because salvation is not just a one-time package. I continue to unpack all of the goodness that comes along with salvation. That's why the hope of salvation keeps me focused, keeps me going until the day of the Lord's return. The Apostle Paul says to these saints, you're going to have some diligence. Diligence to continue on, to be watchful, to be sober. Why? The devil is there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's going to require some watchfulness. It's going to require some awareness. It's going to require staying awake spiritually to what is happening all around us. He says, saints, I want to give you some closing guidance that's going to help keep you going. You make sure you're full of discernment. Make sure you understand that you are privileged to have received deliverance. And if you're going to continue on, ensure that you embrace the quality of diligence. Diligence. This Christian life is not a 100-meter dash. It's not even a 400-meter dash. It's not a dash at all. It is a marathon. And it requires some persistence, some diligence that says, I will keep going on because of what I've been given. And what I have is enough to finish the race and to finish strong. And may God help us in our endeavors to continue on, keeping on, because it is worth it. Amen? And the Apostle Paul says, you have what it takes. And God has given you all that you need to be able to live a fulfilling Christian life.